Okay. It's been a rough week for Klal Yisrael. And, you know, Nebuch, we had that terrible situation in Eretz Yisrael where Nebuch, this young mother, who she was shot and her baby was taken out in the C-section and she died 3 days later. Such a tragedy. I subsequently found out that my first cousin was at the bus stop. You know, my aunt had emailed us just that she happened to have been there just for that terrible, terrible times. And Klal Yisrael mourns, and we have a lot of kashas. We mourn and we have kashas, both of them. And then Nebuch, as the week progressed, we heard the old tragic news Monday night about a graduate of ours who Nebuch passed away in just the most tragic way, just without any warning, and there was nothing else going on, and just suddenly collapsed and died. Le'aleinu. And the father said something at the Levaya that resonated a little bit with me, where he says, "Hashem, I know this is just. I just want to know why." And he was like, he could just feel the pain. You know, wasn't questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but was just needed a little chizuk, and it was painful. And so I was thinking about that, and I spoke. You know, as people do when times of tragedy, you call people who have similar connections. So I reached out to Rav Nussbacher, who interviewed him for Shalvim, who interviewed Zach for Shalvim, and he said over to me this Chafetz Chaim that I had known, but I never looked inside. And I want to share with you today this Chafetz Chaim on the Parsha, which I think in light of these events is particularly meaningful. The Chafetz Chaim tells over that, again, when you learn the stories of Chumashim, you can't learn them knowing the ending, even though we know the end. You have to put yourself, again, I quote Rabbi Kalish, you have to be a visual learner. You have to go through the emotions that the people were having at the time. So here are the brothers. Last week, they come down to Mitzrayim, and the brothers go up to Yosef, not knowing it's Yosef, and Yosef starts, like, ripping them and accusing them of being spies, and they're like, "What? Dude, we're just 10 guys looking for a little sandwich. You know, like, come on." And Yosef has given him a Mishaberech Av Yitzchak Yaakov, and so much so that he captures Shimon and puts him into jail, and he says, "Leave." And then he gives him a ton of food. Like, what just happened? And they go back to their father, and their father says, "You can't go back with Binyamin. I don't care what you said. We're not risking him." And then finally, he relents, and he allows them to take Binyamin, and they go, and all of a sudden, the king gives out a gorgeous smorgasbord of food and delicacies and unbelievable stuff. And the brothers, seemingly everything's great, and all of a sudden, then they're leaving, and Binyamin, who was given most double portions, five times the amount of everybody else, all of a sudden steals the silver goblet. This is the brothers are thinking. And now he's been taken into captivity from Yosef. And they have thousands of kashas. They don't know why this is happening. Why is this king putting so much interest in them? Why is this king torturing them? Why is this king doing all these things to them? They couldn't fathom as to what was happening. And they had all these kashas. And this is them living through this progression of, I don't know exactly how long this period of time is, but, you know, months. Months of time, they traveled from Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, back. Yaakov delayed them for a while, finally relented, they went back, and then they were leaving. So this is quite some time. You know, we read it as a matter of a week, but when you're living in these times, you know, picture yourself like studying for a final, and those whatever you're doing in your own torturous times, and they last forever. So what's happening here? So all of a sudden, at that moment, Yosef says, "Ani Yosef." The moment they say Ani Yosef, the moment that he said Ani Yosef, every kasha that the brothers had, it all makes sense. It's like when you answer up, you know, when you have a yosef that answers up, you know, five things. Oh, you have that aha moment. So that Ani Yosef is that aha moment which clarifies all the kashas. And it's like, now I understand. You might have different kashas, like, why was he takator, whatever it is. But you understand what was going on, like why he paid so much interest, and why did he do the whole thing with the trap with Binyamin, and things make sense. Says the Chafetz Chaim, and I can only read you from the words of the Chafetz Chaim. Ken kasher yishma olam ishtei amilim. When the world hears the words, Ani Hashem, yitratu kol hakushyat v'atmiyas ahonagazol. The whole world is going to be understood. We are living in a world that's called an olam, which is ha'olam, which is hidden, because God hides his hand. But God is in charge here. We are just players on a field, and God is like spinning the dreidel, and we're the dreidel. And we have no idea why anything is happening, and we can't possibly understand. I hate, with a capital H, I don't hate a lot of things. I hate when people give answers as to why things are happening. We don't know. What we do know is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and whatever he's doing is for our best interest. We just can't see why it's in our best interest. And sometimes you read stories, and in the end, it turns out good. It's true. And sometimes you see how it ended out good. But even when we don't see it ended out good, it is good. We just don't know it's good. That's the nature of the world. And there's going to be a moment in time, just like Yosef says, Adi Yosef, and everything becomes clear, there's going to be a moment in time, sometime in the world, hopefully soon, hopefully today, and if not today, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Sunday, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, Ani Hashem, and all of the pleas and all of the wonderments of this world are going to be as clear as day. That Yad Hashem, Asa HaKol Tova, say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything for our best interest. But it's going to take a little bit of time, unfortunately. It's taken a lot of time. But the biggest emunah that we can have is knowing this idea that there's going to be a moment of clarity in our lives, which is Ani Hashem. And this, I think, was the chizuk that got our grandparents through the concentration camps and gets people through the difficult times, that some you have to dig in deep into your heart and recognize that there is an Ani Hashem moment that's going to happen. And Yaakov Avinu has this Ani Hashem moment. Yaakov Avinu tells Paro he lived a miserable life. He tells him, he goes, how long are you alive? He tells him, and it was all terrible. It's one of the stranger psukim in Torah, and maybe one year I'll actually research it and try to understand it. But there's another event in Yaakov's life that everybody talks about that's one of the stranger moments, where Yosef and Yaakov's reunion, they have this unbelievable reunion. Yaakov's favorite child, he hadn't seen for 22 years, he was left for dead, and Yaakov his entire time is questioning. And he doesn't understand why this is happening, so much so the pasuk tells us, "Vayimain lehisnachim." He couldn't be consoled. All of those 22 years, he couldn't chap what was happening. He didn't have an answer. Finally, on that glorious day, his brothers come in and say, "Oh, and Serach is playing on our kinor over there," and they tell him Yosef is alive. And Yaakov says, "Set up the wagons, let's go." And they have this one of the craziest reunions of all time, where Yaakov and Yosef. You can't imagine, again, reuniting with your son after 22 years. It feels so good. Terrible pun. But when you unite with somebody who you cared deliciously so much about, and after 22 years you're able to get together, that's an unbelievable feeling. And what do they do? So Rashi says famously, what happens at their moment of reunion? Yosef is crying like a baby. Right? And Yaakov is zugging kriyashma. Yaakov is zugging kriyashma. He doesn't cry, he's not, he says Kriya Shema. So everybody questions, what is going on here? So the morale says an unbelievable vart that ties back into our first vart. Number one, people want to suggest that really what Yaakov was saying Kriya Shema is because time was up. It's time to say Kriya Shema. Time's up. So he says Kriya Shema. But the morale says, if that's true, then Yosef should have been saying Kriya Shema. Right? I mean, why is Yaakov exclusive to say Kriya Shema? Time's up, right? So some people want to answer it because Osik mitzvah patur mitzvah. Since Yosef was involved in a mitzvah, Yosef couldn't say it. Yaakov wasn't involved in a mitzvah. Yosef was involved in the mitzvah of Kibud Av. Yaakov didn't have Kibud Av to Yosef. Okay. People want to suggest. But the morale takes us in a different direction. And this morale is something that really ties into our first vort. So why does Yaakov say Kriya Shema at that moment? Because what is Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is this idea of accepting upon yourself the yoke of heaven. Right? So what happens? That's Kriya Shema. So when Yaakov comes and he sees Yosef, and he thought Yosef was dead, but in fact, Yosef was not just dead. He wasn't just alive. He was also the viceroy. The viceroy, in his heart, he had such an overwhelming amount of love and yira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How wonderful HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, and that how his midos were all for the best, and all of those events that happened in the last 22 years, all had to happen for that moment, for Klal Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim, to make it easy for the transition to be to Mitzrayim, where they knew they were going to be in the Gullus. At that moment, he recognized the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how great he was. He wanted to pour it into Kriya Shema so he could have the Yichud of Hashem, the Yichud Malchus of Shemayim, of his love and his Yira, putting them together, all of the love that he has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of that awe that he has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that moment, he's overwhelmed with it. He wants to pour it out towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he wants to say Kriya Shema, that when Yosef comes back after all those years of pain and anguish, oh, I can't believe it was all for the best. The turn of events, that moment of clarity that Yaakov has, and all of a sudden, Yosef is right in front of him. And he's the viceroy of Egypt, and everything is set up, and he's the king. He had such an abundance of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was mekabel upon himself, the Malchus, with all of that love. Unbelievable. That's why he says, at that particular moment, V'zehu, says the Maral, Nachon L'Maven. That's the way it's supposed to be understood. And Yosef doesn't read Kriya Shema because he didn't have that same depth of Simcha. Because Yosef knew the events the entire time. He was the event. So Yosef doesn't have to have that moment of clarity. And this goes back, it's the same thing, that in our lives we're going to have moments which are full of despair. And hopefully in our lives we're going to have moments where everything becomes so crystal clear, where we're going to see Ani Yosef, and all of a sudden, oh, everything makes sense. And we can have that overwhelming abundance of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this world is an olam, it's a world of despair, it's a world that we can't see 100% clear. So we daven speedily in our day. We daven that the Mashiach should come. As Semach David Avducha Meheretz Atzmiach, Kikaru B'Shuasacha, Kilu Shuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. Because why is the Mashiach going to come? Why is the Yeshua, the Savior, going to come? Why? Because we demand it. Kilu Shuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. It's only because we ask for it. Sometimes we have to go through these terrible times. Again, I don't know why they happen. I'm not saying why it happened. But the terrible times, the only thing we could relate to is we want to, and this is what the Father said at the Levaya, we need to see Mashiach because we want to see this again. We want to understand what happened. We're dominating, we're demanding, Kilishuascha Kivinu Kolayom. We're asking speedily our day that the Mashiach should come so that we shouldn't have our darkness, so that we should be able to have that Simcha of Ani Yosef, that Hashem, and makes everything clear again. Because in a world of darkness, it's hard to be so happy. So we need that moment of clarity of Ani Yosef so we can have the full love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shlemuso with our Ahava. Zayga Zutnishtarik, have a wonderful Shabbos.